Hare Krishna. Right. Well, thank you all for being here. It's really wonderful to see all of our young people back on a wonderful trip around America and Canada. Today's theme is going to be the founding of ISKCON and its seven purposes. On Wednesday, the 27th, according to the Vaishnava calendar, was the day that Srila Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON and in 1966. So this is the 50th year anniversary. I have a little bit to go through, so I'm skipping the Jai Radha Madhava. We had such a nice kirtan right before. I appreciate it. And I was thinking that as the boys were traveling through the country and seeing so many temples, going to festivals, it's really a wonderful experience of seeing the legacy of Srila Prabhupada, of his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and what Srila Prabhupada inspired and created, and now is continuing many, many years later. It's really good to have these opportunities to meditate upon Srila Prabhupada's work, to meditate upon the founding of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And of course, this is a very special year because it is the 50th anniversary. Now let's see if this thing actually works. Yeah, that was... Did I go just... Okay. All right. Yeah, I think it's working. Okay, good. Okay, why is this day so important? It's the founding of an organization, and one might think, well, it's a religious organization, and that's all well and good, and we've been around for 50 years, so that's a nice round number. But actually, it's much more than just another religious organization, another society, because this is actually commemorating Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement coming to the Western world. It is really that Srila Prabhupada left India, came to America, struggled for some time, of course, in New York and other places, and eventually came to the point where he had a few devotees and wanted to incorporate as a society. Prabhupada thought the organization of a society that would be the vehicle for spreading Krishna consciousness was very, very important. It wasn't just a society, but it was actually the means by which Srila Prabhupada would establish temples, distribute books, put on festivals, distribute prasadam, in so many ways create this whole society which made thousands and thousands of devotees. So I was looking through the Veda base and I noticed that just in Prabhupada's books and purports, not in his letters and times when you would think he would refer to organizational matters, but just in his purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the scriptures, he referred to ISKCON 234 times. So in other words, this was right within Prabhupada's purports and his writings, very, very important to him. You know, he did not take this lightly, that this was a small thing, you know, having an organization. In fact, he thought it very much essential and critical to the entire mission. So it brings us to a verse which you probably can't read up there that I wanted to read to start out. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 16:19. E mata bangera lokera kaila mahahita namadhiya bhakta kaila parana pandita. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contributed the greatest benefit to the people of East Bengal by initiating them into the Harinam, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and making them learned scholars by educating them. Srila Prabhupada's purport, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna Conscious Movement is distributing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and inducing people all over the world to chant. We are giving people an immense treasury of transcendental literature, translated into all the important languages of the world, and by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this literature is selling profusely, and people are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with great delight. This is the preaching process of the Chaitanya cult. Since the Lord wanted this preached all over the world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting in a humble way so the vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may be fulfilled all over the world, especially in the Western countries. So for Srila Prabhupada, this founding of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness went hand in hand with the fulfillment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that the chanting of Hare Krishna went all over the world to every town and village. And we see that Prabhupada further talks about the Chaitanya tree, the many different branches of the devotional lines that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired. Adilila 9:18, thus the branches of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster or society with great branches covering all the universe. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. So, very, very important principle of establishing this organization as a preaching movement in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree that would help to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. So the actual incorporation came about in July of 1966. And there's an interesting story about that, which I'm going to read. This is from, of course, the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Prabhupada said, we shall call our society ISKCON. Prabhupada had laughed playfully when he first coined the acronym. He had initiated the legal work of incorporation that spring while still living on the Bowery. But even before its legal beginning, he'd been talking about his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so it appeared in letters to India and in the Village Voice. A friend suggested a title that will sound more familiar to Westerners. International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada had insisted Krishna Consciousness. God was a vague term, whereas Krishna was exact and scientific. God consciousness was spiritually weaker, less personal. And if Westerners didn't know that Krishna was God, then the International Society for Krishna Consciousness would tell them by spreading his glories in every town and village. But to register ISKCON legally as a non-profit, tax-exempt religion required money and a lawyer. Carl Jurgens had already gained some experience in forming religious, political, and social welfare groups, and when he met Prabhupada on the Bowery, he agreed to help. He contacted his lawyer, Stephen Goldsmith. When Carl told him about Prabhupada's plan, he was immediately fascinated by the idea of setting up a religious corporation for an Indian Swami. He visited Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue, and they discussed incorporation, tax exemption, Prabhupada's immigration status, and Krishna consciousness. Mr. Goldsmith visited Prabhupada several times. Once he brought his children, who liked the soup the Swami cooked. He began attending the evening lectures, where he was often the only non-hippie member of the congregation. One evening, having completed all the legal groundwork and being ready to complete the procedures for incorporation, Mr. Goldsmith came to Prabhupada's lecture in Kirtan to get signatures from the trustee for the new society. At the end of a lecture in the New York storefront, Srila Prabhupada said, all right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask anything. Mr. Goldsmith stands, and to the surprise of the people gathered, he makes a short announcement asking for signers on an incorporation document for the Swami's new religious movement. As the meeting breaks up, those called on to sign as trustees come forward. Standing around in the little storefront, waiting to leaf cursorily through the pages the lawyer had produced from his thin attaché, and to sign as he directs. Yet, not a soul among them is really committed to Krishna consciousness. The first trustees, who will hold office for a year until the first annual meeting of the corporation, are Michael Grant, who puts down his name and address without ever reading the document, because that's now Mukunda Goswami, Mike's girlfriend Jan, and James Green. No one seriously intends to undertake any formal duties as a trustee of the religious society, but they're happy to help the Swami by signing his fledgling society into legal existence. None of them know exactly what the half-dozen legal-sized type pages mean, except that Swamiji is forming a society. Oop. But Prabhupada is planning for the future. And he's planning for much more than just tax exemption. He is trying to serve his spiritual predecessors in fulfilling the scriptural prediction of a spiritual movement that is to flourish for 10,000 years. In the midst of the age of Kali, within the vast age of Kali age, a period of 432,000 years, the 1960s are but an insignificant moment. The purposes stated within ISKCON's Article of Incorporation reveal Prabhupada's thinking. There were 7 points, similar to those given in the prospectus for the League of Devotees, he formed in Jhansi 1953. That attempt had been unsuccessful, yet his purposes remain unchanged. Regardless of what ISKCON's charter members thought of the society's purpose, Prabhupada saw them as imminent realities. As Mr. Rubin, the subway conductor who had met Prabhupada on a Manhattan Beach park bench in 1965 had noted, he seemed to know that he would have temples filled up with devotees. There are temples and books, he said. They are existing. They are there. But time is separating us from them. So, to many of the observers, of course, they barely knew what Prabhupada was about, what he was doing, and they barely could understand Srila Prabhupada's greatness. So it may have seemed like a grandiose gesture, forming this big society, Prabhupada thinking there were going to be thousands of devotees, hundreds of temples, so many books printed, but yet we know all of that came to pass. And therefore, Prabhupada established these 7 principles of ISKCON within the Articles of Incorporation. Whenever you form a corporation, you have to have the purposes of the corporation. So these weren't some boilerplate, you know, type of, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this, education. These were actually very deeply thought out purposes that Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada used in the corporation purposes. And I think we can see that they were completely relevant to everything that Prabhupada did. They actually give a blueprint for the society that Srila Prabhupada was about to create and which we are still forming, creating, developing, and managing on an ongoing basis. So I'm going to, it's hard to read. I'll read those purposes. I think they're important to take a look. Number one, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. You can see these are very, very wonderful, succinct statements of exactly what Prabhupada intended to do and what a spiritual movement needed to do in this world. Number two, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna, God, as is revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Three, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Four, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Five, to erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. And seven, with a view toward achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So this is these purposes, I think we can see, really form the outline for Srila Prabhupada's movement and what his plan was. This is just basically a summary as I go through these. I kind of abbreviate them, like propagate spiritual knowledge, propagate conscious Krishna, etc. Okay. Yes. Okay, what's that? Okay. There we go. As I read these and studied these, it occurred to me that you could put Srila Prabhupada's seven principles in two categories, because there's many ways you could analyze or look at these. But I saw that there was two basic categories that we could see, or two dimensions of Prabhupada's plan. Number one was preaching and educating, being a missionary movement with its many different activities, outreach activities, and bringing people to Krishna. And the second was providing for the spiritual needs of the devotees, saying such thing as bringing the members together. So both purposes were there. One, you know, to be able to create the society for the devotees, where the devotees could come together and enhance their spiritual life and could become Krishna conscious, and also as an outreach movement, as a preaching movement to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bring the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. So looking at it from that perspective, we can see that first of all, if we look at the preaching education societies, we see purposes 1, 2, 4, and 7, teaching the world about spiritual knowledge, teaching knowledge of Krishna through the Vedic literatures, propagating the chanting of the holy name, and publication and distribution of books, spiritual literature. To teach the world how to live happily through spiritual knowledge, this was Prabhupada's purpose. How everyone could become happy simply by understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and real spiritual knowledge. Because Prabhupada understood better than anyone that the suffering in this material world was due to the identification with the body and the mind. And through this spiritual knowledge, one could understand that he is not the body and mind, but the spirit soul who has an eternal relationship with Krishna. And when we are situated in that relationship of loving devotional service, the soul is happy. In the Bhagavatam, it says, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. I always really, right from the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I really always enjoyed this quotation. A revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. So very ambitious, a revolution, not a violent revolution, not a material revolution, but a spiritual change, a change of the heart that this could bring about. And of course, as far as how people can become happy, Prabhupada often called this the peace formula. He says everyone, especially of course in the 60s and the 70s, we had the Vietnam War, everyone was wanting peace, or at least a lot of people were wanting peace. And Prabhupada said the real peace formula is given in the Bhagavad Gita. That if we know Krishna is the enjoyer of all sacrifice, the lord of all planets, the well-wisher of all living beings, then one attains shantim, peace. So knowing that Krishna is the enjoyer, the proprietor, and the friend of all, is the real way for happiness. And of course, we could see so many quotations from the book, but from our books, from the scriptures, but you get the general idea. The Prabhupada saw this is the panacea. This is the way of solving the problems of the world, you know, through Krishna consciousness. So, going on to purpose number two. Oh, I also just wanted to mention that last one. Interesting, because in my initiation letter from Srila Prabhupada in 1972 or 73, Srila Prabhupada mentions that he had, I've mentioned, said this before, but it's always a good story, that he had just had this discussion with a professor, and the professor was saying so many problems in the world of overpopulation, war, etc. And Prabhupada said, I told him that actually the real problems of life are lack of Krishna consciousness, lack of God consciousness. You know, without God, without service to God, without Krishna, all these problems will continue without solution. And so Prabhupada said in his initiation letter to me and some others, he said, you are all intelligent boys and girls. He says, so learn this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and solve all the problems of the world through systematic propaganda as far as you are able to do so. That was my out. You know, yes, yes. Prabhupada expects us to solve all the problems of the world. He never thought small, and he didn't want us to think small. Through systematic propaganda, in other words, through the distribution of literatures, systematic outreach programs, you know, so that we could bring this Krishna consciousness to others. And it was specifically mentioned in purpose two what that Vedic literature was, what that knowledge is, based upon specifically named the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the most important Vaishnava literatures that Srila Prabhupada emphasized. And we even see that we must have faith in the words of the Bhagavatam, which it actually speaks of itself in the very, very beginning. It says, this beautiful Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need for any other scripture? So the Vaishnavas take the Srimad Bhagavatam as our life and soul. This is the absolute knowledge and the basis of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we had instituted by Prabhupada classes morning and evening in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that's sort of diminished in many of our temples. We still continue the Srimad Bhagavatam every morning, and I see that we are now continuing a new tradition of Bhagavad Gita classes in the evening here. I'm very happy to see that. And I really hope everybody sticks with that. When I first came here about 10 years ago, I tried to institute a Bhagavad Gita class and get that going, but we kind of ran out of steam and energy and lack of participation. So this new Bhagavad Gita class, really wish it well and hope the devotees participate in that. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatams were the main books that we printed and distributed. You know, when I joined the movement in 72, 73, we only had a couple cantos of the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam, and it was really exciting as each new canto was published, Srila Prabhupada translated, wrote the purports, and of course the BBT, our book trust, had to do all of the work. You know, there's also many paintings that were done for each volume, and of course everything it requires to publish a book. And so finally those books would come off the press, and we'd get a few copies in each temple, and it was so exciting to see the Bhagavatams as they came out. We knew this was Prabhupada's heart and soul, and what his mission was to be able to translate these Bhagavatams. And of course, we went out and distributed those Bhagavatams. You know, we were out there distributing third canto, part three. I don't know if people understood them at all, you know, but they certainly gained great benefit just coming in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Oh, I think I'm doing something here where are we? Doesn't seem to want to go back for some reason. Okay. Okay, there we go. Thank you. I see. I don't have these in order. I have them grouped topically by... Okay, I was thinking I was supposed to see three. Okay, so he emphasized spiritual knowledge through the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and purpose number four, propagate the chanting of the holy name as revealed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada fully understanding that the Sankirtan Jagya was a congregational chanting of the names of God was the Yuga Dharma for this Kali Yuga. And he demonstrated personally its importance. Of course, he went out to Tompkins Square Park in New York. He sat down even by himself and began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. People eventually started joining him, and he started building his movement by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And so we always encourage this daily street sankirtan that many of us remember going out on very regularly. Prabhupada established the Rath Yatra festivals. He brought Rath Yatra festivals all over as a way of many, many people could hear the chanting of the holy name as well as experiencing seeing the Lord of the universe. You know, personally, he's come out to see them in the form of Lord Jagannath and, of course, many, many kirtans in the temple. By the way, somebody was just doing a little, one of our GBC members was trying to do a little survey, and he was asking everybody, you know, how many in your zone, how many Rath Yatras do you put on? And actually, there's about 530 Rath Yatras done every year. So I think that's something Srila Prabhupada would be very happy to see. And I think that we can, as usual, give our great thanks to our Alashwa team that we certainly hold up our end by putting on, 9, 10, 11 Rath Yatras every year, just out of this one temple all over the state of Florida and beyond. So very, 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 very nice to see how Prabhupada's desires and Prabhupada's legacy is continuing. And he specifically mentioned those purposes, that these are the teachings are based upon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his spreading of the Sankirtan Jagya. So there is no doubt that this is the movement of Lord Chaitanya, of chanting Hare Krishna. Okay? So, and fine, and of course, the publication distribution of books. We know how important this was to Prabhupada. It was his life and soul, and he understood how this was going to be essential for spreading Krishna consciousness. Of course, we know Srila Prabhupada's books have sold over 500 million copies in so many different languages. And the only only books in history that have sold more have been the Bible, the Quran, and the quotations of Chairman Mao. And I suspect most of those people who had the quotation of Chairman Mao didn't have a lot of choice in whether they were going to get that book. You know. Okay, the Bible and Quran we can understand. They have a 2,000 year head start on this, right? Okay, but you know we'll catch up soon as we continue our book distribution. And of course, it's more than all the Stephen King, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings combined. Okay. And a lot of people weren't even necessarily looking for them. But it was the enthusiasm of the devotees to follow Srila Prabhupada's order to get these books out to everybody that was responsible for such amazing distribution of Prabhupada's books. So our second category was bringing the members together. So Prabhupada, in purpose number 3, we bringing the members together to worship Krishna. 5, develop temples and holy place of pilgrimage. And 6, we teach simple living and high thinking. Okay. Nectar of Instruction, verse 4 says, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this is Prabhupada's purport to NOI 4, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these 6 kind of loving exchanges between devotees. It's interesting, Prabhupada said this is the purpose of ISKCON. You have 6 loving exchanges between the devotees outlined in Nectar of Instruction. The life of the Krishna Conscious Society is nourished by these 6 type of loving exchanges among the members, and therefore people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON. That was interesting that Srila Prabhupada, of course, in his purport, many of you are familiar with, he goes on to show how the International Society is not only enjoying these loving relationships among its members and the devotees, but how they are giving them outward, how we are distributing prasadam, how we are continuing these loving exchanges of in so many different ways. So both things were there. In other words, the devotee is not selfish. It's not that we just want to enjoy a wonderful life or enjoy relationships or society amongst ourselves, but we want to also be able to bring this to others so that they can become part of this society in whatever way they choose to participate. Purpose number 5 was to develop temples and holy places of pilgrimage. So Prabhupada showed by how both establishing temples and book distribution preaching needed. Prabhupada often talked about the 2 parallel tracks, Bhagavad Gita and Pantaratriki, that we had to have both the temple worship and the preaching going on simultaneously. From Adi 7.164, it says, when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan, there was not a single temple. But by their preaching, they were gradually able to construct various temples. Both distribution of books and construction of temples must continue side by side. So Prabhupada understood this following the 6 Goswamis, that this was actually their program. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the Goswamis to go to Vrindavan and to establish temples. And of course, they established the 7 principal temples of Vrindavan, but also to write books and to make these available to people. And we know that the next generation after them started the first Sankirtan parties to distribute books. Purpose number 6, to teach simple living and high thinking. For this, Prabhupada often meant farm communities or rural living or a more simple way of life. Not that all the devotees were going to live in farm communities, but this sort of exemplified the idea of simple living and high thinking. And he established the first farm community in 1968, only a couple years after the movement was begun in New Vrindavan. In a letter to Rupanuga, Prabhupada said, "Our farm projects are an extremely important part of our movement. We must become self-sufficient by growing our own grains and producing our own milk. Then there will be no question of poverty, so develop these communities as far as possible." So, of course, we're trying to do what we can here in New Ramanreti, and the eco farm is developing, and we're going to, you know, beginning a milking program again with the cows. And if you've any of you have had a visit out back here, you can see the many, many acres of vegetable gardens that Jenman Jaya and Shanka and others work on. So in little ways, we want to try to fulfill this mission that Srila Prabhupada gave us of becoming more self-sufficient, having a more simple life, and trying to establish these farm communities. So, Prabhupada wanted to establish a spiritual community. So, whether on farms or whether in cities, the devotees coming together establish the spiritual community of Vaishnavas and develop the Sadhu Sangha, or association of devotees together. So, for a spiritual community to exist, the members need to be cared for, their needs are provided, there needs to be concern, and loving relationships. All those things must there. And in addition, the members share a common cause, a shared preaching spirit. So in other words, every one of us who is part of these communities, you know, has a purpose. We have a mission. Srila Prabhupada has given us that mission. And as we work together and support one another and nurture one another, we do that with the aim of being able to mutually fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Nice. I think I skipped along again. Okay, here we go. Why do we need to understand Srila Prabhupada? Well, it may seem obvious, but I think it's always good to talk about our founder, Acharya, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, what he did for us coming to America 50 years ago and forming this society, preaching to us the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said his law, his books, his purports to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. In other words, Prabhupada is the founder, Acharya of ISKCON, is our guide. He is the authority. He is the one that will be the reference. If we have some question about philosophy, even other types of questions, Srila Prabhupada's writings become our foundation. And because Prabhupada wrote so voluminously and gave us not only so many books, but classes, lectures, letters, there's a whole archives of everything that Srila Prabhupada gave us in written and spoken word. We can use those as our guide for the future. Prabhupada is also the center and unifying force within ISKCON. In other words, we all come together, we all worship Srila Prabhupada, offer Guru Puja, we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we understand that he is the central figure by which, and his, it is from his energy, his presence, that everything else is flowing and everything else is coming about. And that way, we have unity, because we have the common father, or the common grandfather, or a great-grandfather, or as generations go by, we have that common figure. And whether we're a direct disciple of Prabhupada or we're the next generation, remember Prabhupada said the grandfather is often more kind than the father. So in other words, everyone can receive the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. One of the things that we need to do in this, as we're observing this 50th anniversary and thinking about Srila Prabhupada, how he formed the society, is we want to make sure that we understand very clearly this unique role of Srila Prabhupada. And we want to also make sure that we maintain what Srila Prabhupada gave us, that we maintain this movement and continue its growth, and that it continues to be healthy throughout many, many years. After 50 years and for all time, Srila Prabhupada is ISKCON's founder Acharya and preeminent Shiksha Guru. This puts Srila Prabhupada in a very, very special position in our lives. I wanted to read this. This is from a GBC statement on the positions of the Prabhupada. It was written about 3 years ago. And I thought it was a very nice statement that we all kind of, everybody put their input on. And it's about two pages, but this is one section from it. It specifically talks about the relationship of Prabhupada and all the devotees in ISKCON or all the devotees throughout the world. Within these cooperative elements, Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all members of ISKCON. All members of ISKCON for all generations are encouraged to seek shelter of Srila Prabhupada. All members of ISKCON are entitled and encouraged to have a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada through his books, teachings, service, and his ISKCON society. So whether one is a direct disciple or not, everyone can have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is encouraged to develop that relationship. And in fact, when a new person comes, according to our ISKCON laws, we are saying one should first develop the relationship with Srila Prabhupada, first fully understand Srila Prabhupada, understand his teachings, read his books, and then later one can search for and accept the guru of one's choice. But first, Srila Prabhupada should be there so that that's established, that we understand his position and role. Okay. So for the 50th anniversary, we are obviously not just celebrating the society being formed, we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada as the one who founded the society. So we need to educate the world on Srila Prabhupada's accomplishments and mission, and we're seeing many things going on throughout the world. They had a wonderful celebration in Calcutta, observing Srila Prabhupada's departure on the Jaladutta. Then they had very, very nice festivals in Boston, another place where Srila Prabhupada landed. And so all of these different ways, temples around the world are commemorating Srila Prabhupada, commemorating his coming to America, and now we're talking about commemorating the establishment of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's also important for us to show the successes that are continuing from ISKCON and this Hare Krishna movement. When Srila Prabhupada left this in 1977, it is not that everything ended. We went through some difficult times, yes, in the absence of our guide and spiritual master. But eventually the ship became righted and we continued onward. And we can see that the Krishna Conscious Movement is continuing to grow and expand. In fact, there are many, many times more devotees now, many more temples than when Srila Prabhupada left us. Is this due to that we are doing such a wonderful job and are so exalted? And so, no. This is because Srila Prabhupada's direction, his guidance, his energy, and his inspiration continue in the hearts of all the devotees. And we continue to do that work that Srila Prabhupada asked us to do. And if we're a little bit sincere in trying to please Srila Prabhupada, then we may get some good result. So we need to let everybody know about Srila Prabhupada. When new people come, they should understand Srila Prabhupada. And we should really try to work to glorify Srila Prabhupada during this 50th anniversary celebration this year. So, and of course, a new Raman Reti, we should do what we can do. We may not be doing a grandiose celebration like in Calcutta and Boston, but even small things like this 50-50 campaign that has been established here, of trying to get every devotee here for the 50th anniversary to distribute 50 books. And if you can't distribute 50 books, at least sponsor 50 books that can be distributed by the temple. And I feel a little guilty. I'm only up to 29, but I've got almost another 6 months to get the rest done to distribute 50 books. So we should all do our best to try to do that and help in that way to honor Srila Prabhupada. And also the temple is doing different activities, and we have different commemorations. We had the film, I think, last week, wasn't it, for Srila Prabhupada. We're also planning this Eco Farm Fall Festival this fall. When is this, Mother Mukha? Is it September or October? October 22nd. Mark your calendars. It's going to be a very, very nice festival where the public will be invited to see our eco farm, and I think there'll be other exhibits. And it's a way of bringing people here, and they can see what we are doing. We can see, they can see who ISKCON is and some of the accomplishments of New Raman Reti, which are all, of course, due to the mercy and the guidance and inspiration of Srila Prabhupada. So if we all can take these times to remember Srila Prabhupada, remember his founding of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and how this impacted all of our lives. If Prabhupada had not formed ISKCON, I wouldn't be here. And probably very few people in this room would be here. Maybe nobody. We'd have a big empty room here. And but we can see this is an auspicious day. We've been experiencing somewhat of a drought here. We haven't had much rain. And here it comes. So that's actually auspicious for it to rain on a day that we are commemorating the founding of ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada's coming to America. Okay, I think Okay, we are done. Are there any comments or questions? We may have a few minutes here. Any discussion on this? Yes. Here, there's a microphone.
It's just a comment, Prabhu, about the Srimad Bhagavatams being distributed. 20 years ago or more, we were doing the Turnpike Plazas, Panchakota, arranged with the Department of Transportation that we had a permit to do that. So we will stand right outside of the main entrance, south and northbound, and we were distributing big books. We were not distributing small books. We were distributing Srimad Bhagavatams and, big books. So many truck drivers came by. So one time I gave this book to a truck driver and I asked, it's more than 20 years, so I was a little bit younger. So I asked, you know what this book is all about? Because he just accepted and grabbed it from me, So I said, you know what this book is all about? And he said, of course, I'm not stupid. It's about Vishnu.
So okay.
We might think that they, but they know somehow or other these books are out there and people are reading them.
They are out there, 500 million of them, and they are working in that way. That's a nice example of how, Srila Prabhupada, said that, even if someone touches these books, they gain spiritual benefit. Their spiritual life begins. And what to speak of those who actually read them? And we don't know where they'll go and where they'll be read. One of my favorite stories is that we had two devotees in Miami. They were two brothers. And when they were in Detroit, they were car thieves. And they stole a car that had a Bhagavad Gita in the back seat. They read it and they became devotees. I don't know if that's the best example to give here over the internet and everything, but they totally changed, of course. No more stealing. They became model citizens. And Yes. Yeah.
Just want to share this funny story. Back in the 80s, we were... Yeah, when we were distributing books in Guyana, we used to distribute Bhagavatam sets. So we used to go to like different bookstores or different organizations, even to the Christians and the Muslims, we used to sell sets. Mm-hmm. And because we were from a third world countries, like books were hard to come by. So we used to go and preach these books and sell them. When we ran out, we used to go and preach to them again, back to us. At a discounted price, and then distributing it to other people.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Hello. Aribo. I want to thank Prabhupada for bringing ISKCON and Lord Krishna to America. In the 60s, there was such a turbulent time, and in the little town of Satellite Beach, Florida in the 60s, the only impact we had was the Radhakrishnan album, and it was nice to see Prabhupada's smile on the back of the album, which attracted almost everybody. That when I took my copy to school, they would look at the back of it, and that was about as far as it went. So anyway, just want to say that the book, Swami in a Strange Land, I'm reading it. We have it here. It is excellent. It is so well written, and it moves from page to page to page. So I would just encourage everybody to get a copy of the book and read it. And the last thing I want to say is thank you, all the devotees, for being faithful to Prabhupada and to Krishna. And again, I want to thank Prabhupada for bringing us Krishna Balaram. And little Balaram up there stole the show on the installation, and he always steals my heart when I come here. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And actually, it is a good point that one thing we're fortunate about is there's so many wonderful books like the one you mentioned, biographies of Srila Prabhupada, and different ways that we can learn about Prabhupada, understand him, and the memory tapes. And, you know, there's so many ways that we can feel close to Srila Prabhupada and understand and enjoy what he did and his different activities and his relationships with devotees. Because it isn't that just Srila Prabhupada was some figure who just disseminated knowledge. No, Prabhupada had relationship with his disciples. It was a loving relationship, you know, and that was very, very clear as we hear about Srila Prabhupada and his activities. You know, it is personal, very loving. Prabhupada was indeed our father, Hare Krishna. Yes. But Yamaraj, please.
Thank you, Prabhu, for such a very nice presentation. I was thinking Prabhupada's vision for this world was to spiritualize the world, and we should take that to heart, and we should know that these politicians do not have the answer. Prabhupada gave us the answer, and don't think that they're going to, one politician's going to do this and do that, because you know, I've been around 60 years, and I haven't seen one politician do too much of anything, you know. So, but Prabhupada definitely had the vision, and we as devotees should just help that mission by getting out there and telling people about Krishna.
Thank you very much. Yes. Okay, we should probably be wrapping up. Maybe one more question, or was there one of the ladies who had some? Okay, let's... Over on the other side.
I just wanted to say that if you wanted to get inspired to distribute books, there's another really nice book to read called My Family Business. Mm. It's really wonderful and inspirational in the gift shop.
thank you for that announcement, advertisement. Yes, very, very wonderful book by Shesha Kapoor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jai, I think everybody probably wants to take your shot on. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON Ki Jai.